Well, praise the Lord, church. I'm thankful to be in the house of the Lord, aren't you? I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to preach tonight, Brother Derek. Thank you so much. It's a privilege and an honor. I'm thankful for the Spirit of the Lord that I've felt thus far in the service tonight. I love coming to a service when I feel the presence of the Lord. If I don't feel the presence of the Lord when I come to church, I'll be honest, I leave church feeling like I've wasted my time. And I know it's going to be a hard week at work if I don't feel the presence of the Lord, if I don't get into the presence of the Lord. I was thinking as she began to sing that song, everybody will be happy over there. You know, I can't wait for that day. I've got a lot of lost loved ones that we've lost over the years, family and church members. But I'm waiting for that day, whether it be by the grave or the Lord splits the eastern sky and he calls his church together and we will worship the Lord over there. Yeah. I began to think I was praying, you know, trying to find direction for the service and even coming into the church, got a little nervous, and y'all, when I get in front of people, I start stuttering a lot, but I begin to pray to the Lord, Lord, would you confirm it to me tonight? And Sister Sue, the Lord used you tonight in your testimony to confirm his will that I should preach tonight. So if you will tonight, would you turn with me to the book of Ephesians chapter number 5? I was planning on preaching something else for about 3 weeks, and this morning I got up and started to read my Bible, and I felt the Spirit of the Lord dealing with me, and I said, I was planning on preaching something else, but I'm going to preach this tonight, so that made me a lot more nervous. But Ephesians chapter 5, verses number 15 through number 20. It says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Can we pray tonight one more time? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity, God, to be able to preach tonight, Lord. God, we need your anointing, Lord. We need your Spirit to come and touch us tonight, Lord, to rest in this place, Lord. We feel your Spirit. And God, would you work and move in this place tonight? Would you have your way? Would you draw us closer to you, Lord, tonight? And we'll never fail to give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah be to the Lamb of God. Amen. Amen. If the Lord would help me tonight, I'd like to preach on simply, be ye filled. You know, there is only one kind of church, a true church, that is presented in the New Testament. That is a glorious church, not a defeated church. We ever since when the conception of the church to when the church was born at Pentecost, the church was not a defeated church. The church exploded in a mighty power and manifestation of the Holy Ghost. And you know, sometimes I feel that we've strayed from our roots, from Pentecost. You know, we have a lot of different meetings, and I was talking to my mother this morning because she said something to me years ago about some different denominations that used to believe in Pentecost, that used to live holiness. And I asked her, she told me it was in 1982 in a place in Texas, and she wasn't saved, but her mother took her there to a camp meeting of one of the popular denominations back of that time, and it's still around today. I won't name it because there's some good churches in that denomination still, and I don't want to disgrace them. But she said that there was no Spirit of the Lord there in that place, that the choirs got up and had a competition. The preachers got up. She said she still remembers a few old ladies that were there that still looked the part, that still lived holiness. But she said even from her young age, not knowing really much about God at 12 years old, but she said that the church was a compromising church. And you know, I don't believe that the Lord is coming back for a church like that. Me and my pastor and Morgan went to we got a chance to go to a Baptist convention camp meeting over the summer, And I really enjoyed it. They had some good preaching, good doctrinal preaching, excellent doctrinal preaching. And, you know, I'll be honest, I miss doctrinal preaching like that, like they have there. But throughout the service, I just began to just ponder or just thinking, Lord, this is wonderful. You know, there's a good spirit here. They've got good preaching. They've got good singing. What is off about this place? And then it hit me. There's no spirit of the Lord in that place. They don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost with speaking in other tongues. I believe in it. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in it. We were born of the Spirit. We were bought of the Spirit. And by the grace of God, we can be baptized in the Spirit as well with evidence of speaking with other tongues. But let's look tonight at what Jesus said about the Holy Ghost. And you know, if you look in the Bible about the things that Jesus talked about, all the different things, heaven, hell, and all the parables, he really didn't say a whole lot about the Holy Ghost. And I heard one preacher say it like this: that means it's all the more important what Jesus said about the Holy Ghost. But Jesus began to speak of the unique experience of the Holy Ghost. In John chapter number 14, he began to speak of this. And throughout the Old Testament, there were flashes of miracles there in Moses' day and Elijah, but never the miracles that Jesus did. John said one day, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he said that, I suppose if all the things that he did were written down, that the very world could not contain the books thereof. And tonight, John 3:34, it says, for For he who God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. And I also heard this one time, you know, if that implies anything, I want a greater measure of the Holy Ghost when I leave this place. Because you know, psychology and things like that, they're good, and I believe that some of those things are helpful. But when it comes down to it, the Holy Ghost is what makes the difference. I don't believe that, honestly, in our churches we preach enough about the Holy Ghost, of baptizing and speaking it with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. I know oftentimes we shy away from the Holy Ghost because of other denominations that they want the world, they want the Holy Ghost, they claim to have Jesus and all that he pertains to them, but they want to live like the world, they look like the world, they cuss like a sailor, and you look at them and you shake your head, say, you don't know anything about what you're saying. You don't know nothing about what you are saying. A lot of churches today, they have their so-called bodybuilders for Christ, people to get up there and break stuff in front of the church. And, whoa, what a good service we had this morning. Did anybody get saved? Well, we prayed a little prayer and they accepted Jesus. But we had the bodybuilders there, you know, breaking stuff. And what a mighty service we had this morning. That's a bunch of foolishness. Yeah. That ain't the Holy Ghost at all. The devil has used that to pervert and make people standoffish to the real Holy Ghost with speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. But I want to tell you tonight that I believe in it tonight. I absolutely believe in it. And you know what else? I've experienced it for myself. Thank God for the grace of God, for the Holy Ghost. Thank God. But towards the end of Jesus' ministry, Jesus began to talk to the disciples, and this is found in John chapter 14, about another comforter. Yes. Jesus, you know, he was always there at that time. And Jesus always knew what to do in situations. When difficult situations came from time to time, the disciples, they would do well. Other times, they would not do so well, but Jesus was always with them. Jesus always knew what to do. But Jesus began talking to them a lot in parables. He began to talk to them about going away and setting up the kingdom. And the disciples, they were confused by this. They didn't know what was going on. They began to wonder. They began to talk to Jesus. They began to want to know what he was talking about. But in the middle of talking about going away, Jesus said, I've got to go away, for if I don't go away, the Holy Ghost cannot come. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost tonight. but I'm going to go away, and He is going to send you another Comforter. I'm thankful for that tonight, and praise the Lord. But the disciples, you know, Jesus, he'd been just a few short chapters later, Jesus, they went to the garden. I believe it might have been in 16 or 17 of John. And Jesus went to the garden and he was betrayed. And we find that all the disciples fled him. The disciples were in hiding. We find that Peter denied the Lord and went and wept bitterly over it. We find that Jesus, he was led up. He was crucified. He died for our sins and he was put in that grave. And he had risen again. And he told his disciples, he said, "Go and tarry. Go and tarry. Go to Jerusalem and tarry." The disciples, they were in hiding. They were afraid that what happened to Jesus was going to happen to them as well. They were absolutely afraid. And a lot of people, you know, they want to argue over things, whether the church began there or the church began at Pentecost. You know, that doesn't make a difference to me, really. But the point is that the disciples, they were not a glorious church at this point. They were a defeated church. They were in hiding. If you believe that, they were in hiding. But we find in the book of Acts, and I'm going to read there tonight, in the book of Acts, chapter number 1. Book of Acts, chapter number 1. It says, verses number 1 through number 5. "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being ascended together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Oh, yes. And then we find that they went and tarried like the Lord had told them to do. And we find in just the next chapter over, chapter number 2, a lot of people believe that they tarried for about 10 days, the 120. Tarried for about 10 days. But we find in chapter number 2, verses number 1, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance." When they began to speak with other tongues and the Spirit of the Lord was poured out on them after they obeyed God, the church exploded into a great revival. Peter got up after that and he preached to 3,000 people. Maybe more than 3,000, but we know that 3,000 people were saved. And we begin to look through this chapter as people begin to say, "These people are drunk with wine." But Peter said, "These are not drunk with wine as ye suppose, seeing it is but at the sixth hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he said, In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams." That is the church that the Lord is looking for in this hour. A glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb, as that song says. You know, I don't believe that we see manifestations of the Holy Ghost like we used to. Is it because the Lord doesn't want to move? No, it's not because the Lord doesn't want to move. It's because we get so caught up with other things, with things of this life, even compromise. We begin to just let other things in our lives take the place of God. And little by little, we don't realize it, but the Holy Ghost begins to creep out of our services. Maybe sometimes things we do, I've been guilty of this myself, grieving the Holy Ghost. And if you grieve the Holy Ghost for too long, he will take his flight. He will not stay around. But I believe tonight that there is a true blood-washed church that can be filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is for everyone. It is for every believer. As we know, most of us know, the book of Acts does not have a formal ending. Why? Because the actions are still taking place today that were going on in that book. They are still taking place. I've seen it. I've experienced it. It's what the Bible says. It's a biblical experience. It is for you. It is for me. You know, I wonder, why are we so hesitant when we come into the house of the Lord? And I felt such a liberty in the service tonight. And the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I wonder, just oftentimes when we come into the house of God, why do we doubt the Lord?
Yes.
Why do we doubt the things that He has for us? You know, when we doubt the Lord, we know that is sin. I do believe that that is sin. We've got to believe God.
Yes.
We've got to believe Him for what He's going to give us, for what He's going to do for us. The Lord wants us to be a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, a glorious church.
Yes.
But you know, tonight I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the presence of the Lord. But we begin to be afraid.
Yes.
You know, let other denominations, and I've seen it. I've been in churches, if you can even call them in churches. I was in a church in Monroeville, Pennsylvania, while I was going to school. And I went there just for some Saturday night, something to do, just with the boys. Went to that church, you know, you walk in, they had the sanctuary lights all dark in there. They had the music pumping through the subwoofers, kind of a dance beat, something that maybe you'd remind you of, get people jumping up and down. They come in there. And then when it was time for the service to start, they had a countdown. You know, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then boom, everything got quiet. They had a scripture verse come up there that was from some different translation of the Bible. And then the even better part, it gets even better. The praise team members came jumping out on stage with their guitars. You know, throw your fist in the air. Everybody began jumping up and down and singing songs about the Lord, good songs about the Lord. But there was no Spirit of the Lord in that place.
Yeah.
There was absolutely the pastor's wife. I don't know what kind of anointing that she thought she felt, but she didn't have no anointing. She got up there and started saying that, you know, aren't you glad that we're in the house of the Lord, because no perfect people are allowed in here. That may be true, in fact, that nobody's perfect, but the longer I've lived and longer I've watched people, I realize that's just an excuse.
Yes.
That's just an excuse to live any old way you want to. And how many knows what the Bible says? You cannot drink of the cup of the devil and of God. You can't do it. You keep doing that, the Spirit of the Lord is going to leave. He's going to take His flight. He doesn't want any part in that. I do not believe that. But I'm thankful tonight that we serve a risen God, that we are a part of the true and blood-bought church. I'm thankful for that tonight. I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost. I believe that the Holy Ghost is the difference maker in our churches. You know, we've got good doctrine. We've got sound doctrine. We go by the Word of God. We've got good singing. We've got good preaching. Just prayer. We got people that know how to pray. And you know, a lot of other denominations and different people. And I don't mean to say that as in we're the only denomination going. I do not believe that at all. I don't believe it. But we try to live as close as we can to the Word of God. Try to believe the Word of God. And I'll be honest with you, I'm tired of the devil perverting things of God and people of God falling prey to it.
Amen.
You know, the Bible says when the presence of the Lord came, David done it the right way. The Bible says David danced before the Lord with all his might.
Yeah.
He done it the right way. He brought the ark, which was the symbol of the presence of God, back the right way. He had every right to dance before the Lord. A lot of people shy away from that. They say that's foolishness. That's what they say. And you know, I've seen it. I've seen the perverted version of it myself. But you know, we're the true blood-bought church.
Yes.
That was meant for us.
Amen.
And it's time, I believe, that we stop falling prey to the lies of the devil, and we start living like we're victorious.
Amen.
Like we live like a glorious church.
Amen.
Like the Lord intended for us. And this is a story I heard Brother Mike Roberts tell. Many of you don't know who he is. Maybe some of you do. But he had a man coming to his church at the time. He has wild people coming to his church from the coal mines. Good people. And the kind of people that will put 110% into the service, will shout, and will drop the hat to shout. They just look for an excuse to do it. And he began to notice one of his members at the church. This man would sit on the front row, and he was just always looking for an opportunity to run around the church. That was how he worshiped God. And Brother Mike said he noticed that one service that he didn't run around the church. And so he went up to him and asked him, said, "Are you dead? What's wrong with you?" You know, and he said the man got up and he said, "I'm not dead, I'm alive." And he ran around the church right then and there. And Brother Mike was preaching a message about the Holy Ghost, and he titled it, I told Brother Shane about this one, "We're Not As Drunk As We're Supposed to Be." We're not as drunk as we're supposed to be. But we find in Acts chapter number 2, that was the effects that people seen when the Spirit of the Lord hit. People staggering around, people talking in different languages, and they said, "These people are drunk." But Peter had to correct them. But anyways, we find Brother Mike was telling the story about this man. He began to pastor a little storefront church beside the road up there somewhere in the Richlands area. And he said that one service, they got going, and the music started going loud. They started worshiping the Lord as they do. And if any of us, you know, we're in the service, some of us are used to it, some of it ain't. You might would think it's a little crazy and a little chaotic, but it's just how they worship the Lord. And he said that 911 got called on these people because they were out in the street, rolling around in the street, staggering around in the road. And guess what the call was? They said, "These people are out here, they're drunk. These people are out here drunk." Can I tell you tonight, that's what the Bible intended for us. That is ours by the blood of Jesus. Jesus bought that for us, the Holy Ghost. And tonight, I don't believe that there is any reason why we should be afraid of the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. If it comes from clean hands and a pure heart and a life of holiness, and your spirit bears witness with it, I believe it's of God. It's meant to draw us closer to Him. It's meant to give us power to go out and preach into the uttermost parts of the world. You know, it's meant to give us a boldness when we go and preach before the world. Have you ever been out there before you received the Holy Ghost, and now after you receive the Holy Ghost? And have you noticed and witnessed into people? Have you any difference in it? Before, you might have been timid and shy, but now you just can't help yourself. You don't care what they think because it's in you. You got the fire of the Holy Ghost in you. Can I tell you tonight one more time, and I'm almost done preaching tonight, but the Bible says it and I believe it, but we can receive a greater manifestation, a greater measure of the Holy Ghost. It ain't all just to get up here and act crazy and jump around. You know, maybe someone might receive strength through that. I don't know. But when it comes down to it, it's the things of God, and we're the blood-bought church, and it is rightfully ours. And I don't know about you, but I'm not going to let some hypocrite go out there and dance in some false church where they don't preach the whole truth of God. They might preach a little bit of it, but where they don't preach the fullness of God, I'm not going to let them outshout me. I'm not going to let them take and counterfeit, let the devil counterfeit what is mine. I'm not going to take and go and take the tuck head and hide under a pew. I'm not going to do it, because the Bible says when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place, they were all in one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled that place where they were sitting. Some places they claim to have it, that the Holy Ghost ain't nowhere near that place. I'm sorry, the Holy Ghost ain't anywhere near that place. The Holy Ghost will not be in a place like that. He won't do it. That's a bunch of idolatry, a bunch of wickedness. But I believe tonight, I truly believe that we can experience a manifestation, a deeper relationship with the Holy Ghost than we ever have before. Oh, I don't know about you, I'm done preaching. Or Sister Morgan, if you come to the piano, I want a greater measure of the Holy Ghost tonight. I want a greater measure of the Holy Ghost. I need the strength of the Lord. I need the strength of the Holy Ghost tonight. And Brother Derek told me to call us into the altars, and I want to call us into the altars tonight to pray and to seek the Lord, and just to give ourselves to the Lord wholly, and just more and more, and just ask for a deeper relationship with the Lord. I know there's many here tonight that are far ahead of me, years and even decades ahead of me. But one thing I've learned, I've heard preachers in their 80s say. Brother Don Rich, he's one of my favorite preachers. He's in his 80s. He's not doing so good now. But even them, I've heard my pastor and all them say that we can always get a closer walk with the Lord. We can always do it. Do you want a closer walk to the Lord? And are you hungry for a closer walk with the Lord tonight? Well, as my pastor always tells us, and he's influenced me a lot, he says, you're as close to the Lord as you want to be. Because if you want to be close to the Lord, you'll do whatever it takes to get close to the Lord. And I don't know about you, but I want to get closer to the Lord tonight. Thank you. Let's come and pray tonight if you would. However y'all feel like praying tonight. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you for your word.